Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the Desmond Tutu of Matt Men, Rich Zamboli.
All right, cool, man.
Yeah, you're Desmond Tutu now.
I wish I knew more about Desmond Tutu and I could make a joke and or impression,
yeah.
But
we were talking. I don't know. We were just bringing up old 90s references.
That is true.
Desmond Tutu was all over the place in the 90s.
Yes.
You heard about Desmond Tutu constantly.
Oh, absolutely. He was all over TV and Living Single.
And Living Single?
Yeah,
he was on Living Single?
We unconfirmed.
Are Living Single. That one?
Did
in
you
a
watch
90s
Living
type
single?
Of world?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it. Fantastic show.
Queen of TV,
guys, this is a show all about 90s television and Desmond Tutu, apparently. No, it's all about professional wrestling. Last night, AEW Dynamite here in Long Island. I guess I could say here in Long Island. We are on Long Island. Here on Long Island.
I mean,
not in Long Island.
This neighborhood is Long Island light.
Long Island light.
But
yeah.
Then when you cross over into that Nassau border, it's a different planet.
It is a different
I got
planet.
So mad last night.
Oh, at the crowd?
That promo and the crowd, it was just like, that was every single thing I hated about Long Island.
Awesome.
When I went to school out there and when I went to college. And it's like, oof, just the memories. I got triggered.
You got triggered. It's all right. I don't know. It's been a very wild week here. We have a lot of stuff coming up.
Yes.
Over the next couple of weeks, we're gonna have our best of, our worst of, and our prediction show coming up. And we're gonna be doing a special episode of Matt Men, which is a Patreon exclusive, and it's the ultimate Ask Matt Men.
Yes.
So that will be taking place in the next coming weeks.
7 hours.
Next 7 hours. We're gonna do a 7 hour show.
7 hours of Ask Matt Men. I think we could fill that.
I've done 7 hours straight.
So both of us have together.
Did we do 7 hours straight? We did do 7 hours mm-hmm. straight. Yeah. I used to do them all the time for like the tech watch alongs, like the Apple
oh
events
my God,
when I did
yeah.
What the Tech. Those were like super long because I would do that, then I would go into two shows right after.
Mm-hmm.
But we've done, I think we did 8 hours.
You and I.
You, yeah.
For like a watch along.
Yeah, we started at 5 and it ended at midnight.
I remember that. I think the.
Right? It was something like that.
It was like, I want to say like 7.5, 8, and then we did consistently 6 hours.
For a while.
For a while.
Those are hard.
When those long ass pay per views are happening.
Yeah, thank God those days are over.
But those turned into Matt Men After Dark.
Yeah, and that got spooky.
That got like wild.
Very
guys,
wild.
Look those up.
No, don't look them up.
Don't look them up.
Don't look them up. a lot of stuff going on. By the way, breaking news as we're doing the show, Jeff Hardy's released by WWE.
Oh my God.
Breaking news just now. Fightful is reporting that Jeff Hardy is released.
Hey, listen. Guess who's showing up at the Impact Zone?
I got to tell you, Sean just dropped the tweet. I mean, we're doing this live and this is happening. So this is all a lot of news here. Well, I guess we'll start with that. There was an incident over the weekend.
Might
where,
as well, yeah.
With Jeff, where he was doing, it was a house show match. They were in the middle of a match and Jeff went for the hot tag on Drew and rolled out of the ring and left.
Very weird.
Through the crowd.
Yeah. Now, there were reports that people were like, oh, it's a work. Oh, he's had a relapse. Hope the dude's okay.
Yeah.
Number one, first and foremost, you know, he's had his issues in the past, but, you know, hope the dude's all right. I think Matt Hardy released a statement saying that Jeff is okay. It's just like, I don't know, man. When you hear stuff like this, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And him getting fired, you know, this is what, like the third or fourth time he's been fired from the company?
Listen, what I was told is that he's been really good. He does occasionally drink.
Mm-hmm.
But the last, I guess, couple of weeks has been rough for him. Those are the words, more or less.
Okay.
But, you know, I hope he gets, you know, I hope he gets better. I hope he does better. You know, I hate, there are people that see this and they feel happy. You know, they're like, good, they got rid of him. You know, like one of those.
Yeah, that's upsetting too.
Even with John Moxley, there was so much negativity around him, you know, publicly talking about going to rehab and trying to get help. And like, I hate going into the personal stuff, but some people love it, that TMZ bullshit. They absolutely love it. Listen, it's sad. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. You and I both know many people that struggle with substance abuse.
Absolutely.
Growing up in the neighborhood that we grew up in, drinking is a very common thing that you start very early.
Yeah.
And we've seen, you know, I have a lot of compassion for these guys and I hope that Jeff does better and obviously he'll rebound, you know? But this is very interesting. I'm sure we'll have some more news as the show goes on. I didn't expect to report on that today.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
That was actually, well, Jeff Hardy's issue was at the top of our news. And also, rest in peace, Blackjack Lanza.
Blackjack Lanza, which was an instrumental part of the Attitude Era. And,
yes.
You know, there's a lot of variables. And you hear about, you know, Vince McMahon and Vince Russo specifically, right? For the Attitude Era, Vince Russo played a huge part. Ed Ferreira. But Blackjack Lanza is something that you don't hear. He was the agent there, and he was an instrumental part in Steve Austin.
Yes.
In just the whole dynamic of how Steve Austin came up, and he was very much beloved as an agent. A lot of people very much liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Bobby Heenan really created his career.
Yeah.
When he blew up, early Bobby Heenan managing. He was, you know, he was an AWA guy. He was a territorial guy. He traveled everywhere. And then I believe he did one last stint in AWA, and then he became an agent for WWE, and he was there for a very long time, which tenured agent, which is rare. You see these guys come and go a lot, you know?
I always like those stories of, like, the guys like Austin during that time where, you know, Blackjack would be smoking cigarettes backstage and telling them about their matches.
You know?
And I also think, like, that's kind of like an interesting time period too, because I feel like he was one of those dudes that always worked stiff and encouraged that.
Yeah, you know, he was a decent worker. I don't remember seeing a lot of his matches. Later Blackjack Lanza stuff. You know, Blackjack Mulligan.
Yeah.
You know, like those stuff.
The Blackjacks.
We didn't really see a lot of, like, the early days, but very interesting. Sad to see. I'm glad that the story's out how instrumental he was in that era. There's so many moving parts to make something so successful that I feel like people overlook some of those guys.
Yeah.
Like Cornette. I don't think Cornette gets as much credit as you know, as being a part in that 97, 96, 97, 98 WWF.
You know why?
Why?
Because Cornette fills the irritation meter for everybody.
You know what? I got to tell you, I don't get as irritated. I don't listen to his show that often. But, like, I'm able to separate the heel and the historian. You know what I mean? Like, he is a wrestling historian.
Yes.
This guy, the wealth of knowledge that he has, him, Dave Meltzer and a number of those guys, they are tremendous resources for information that nobody knows anymore.
Well, pre-internet, too.
Pre-internet, yeah. Bill Apter, another one.
Yeah,
you know?
Bill, but I always liked Apter because he always kept it kayfabe.
Bill Apter always kept a kayfabe. Do you know where he ran the magazine out of? Rockville Center.
Yeah.
And I think he's from Forest Hills, or he lived in Forest Hills, something like that.
He does I don't know if he does them anymore, but he would do a library appearances locally.
Would he?
Yeah.
I'd like to go to that.
Just to like talk
about the Queens Library?
Yeah.
Like the Bayside Library?
I think the last one was like the one on Francis Lewis.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I would go to that.
Beth Phoenix has left NXT commentary. Apparently War Games was her last show.
Yeah, so a lot of people were upset over this, that they let her go. I don't think they let her go. I think that it's eventually going to build up to that tag match.
Edge and Beth versus Miz and Maryse, right?
Yeah. Listen, it worked with John Cena.
It totally worked with John Cena.
Like, I thought that was a decent, like, it worked. Whatever they tried to do worked. I don't expect her gone. You know, she's beloved in that company.
Absolutely. Listen, The Miz is also the epitome of that WWE lifer.
The Miz, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they love him. Do you think he's going to get another run with that belt?
No.
I'm going to say yes.
Maybe. You know what? You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. Yes, I agree with you. Didn't he have like a quick run?
He had a quick run, and I think they're going to do it again at some point. The Miz is tried and true. It's very weird to say
that. No, didn't he get the belt recently?
Within the last, I think, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. I might be wrong. I think it's 2 years ago.
WWE's TV deal in Japan with J Sports has ended. So a lot of people were asking me about this. I'm not that concerned. I think they're going to get another TV deal somewhere. I don't know where, but I was told that it's not that big of a concern. They're going to get back on TV there.
Cool.
So this is something I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
WWE launched the NIL program, the Next in Line program for college athletes.
Interesting.
They've announced their recruits. There is no guy under 225 pounds.
These are giants.
These are giants. And this, okay, this is not a defense for the direction they are headed. Okay?
Right.
But let me just say this. This is what WWE has done. Yeah. The WWE that we have seen in the last, I don't know, 10 years mm-hmm. was an experiment for them more than anything else. Now they have all the resources in place to get back to how they hire people. Bouncers, bodyguards,
yeah.
football players.
Classic.
Gigantic dudes.
Big
more
men.
Than any. I'm not saying they're hiring bouncers and bodyguards, right? Yeah. They're not going to the Cheetah Club. They're not going to Sapphire, New York and hiring the front door guy.
But that's the way it used to work, right?
That's how it worked, yeah, because the boys would go to the clubs. They would see some big jacked up bouncer.
Or
and
the
like,
gym.
Hey, are you, or gym. Or and they would be like, hey, are you an athlete? What do you do? And of course, everybody played football in college.
Right.
If you're that big,
you played
something.
Yeah.
And they're like, I played football. Like, hey, do you want everything about being a wrestler? And there you go. That's how you get in.
Automatically resilient.
Yeah. These guys are humongous. So some of these guys, the women aspect of this NIL class,
mm-hmm.
They're athletes.
Yes.
Like, they're not gigantic. You know what I mean? They are star college athletes, collegiate mm-hmm. athletes. These guys, though, are giants. There's a 7 foot. There's a 7 foot guy from Portland State.
Jeez.
I can't remember his name, but these guys are all 6 foot something.
John Cran of Riverside, California, 7 foot, 400 pound.
Wow.
From Portland State
yeah,
University.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, he's a big dude.
These people are like you 6'6".
The smallest is AJ Ferrari. That's the smallest guy, and I think he's like 225.
Jeez.
And he that guy is going to be a star. I believe he's the rival of what's his name that they signed? My brain just stopped. Stevenson.
Gable Stevenson?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a rival of his.
Dude, like all these people are gigantic, and you know what? Like again, I agree with you, not in defense of WWE.
Yeah.
But I always feel like there's the hope when these guys come around that you get a Lex Luger, right?
Yeah.
Or you get like in the modern parlance, you get a Baron Corbin.
I'm sorry. AJ Ferrari's 200 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
You either get a Lex Luger, right? If you play your cards right.
Yeah.
Or a Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin, when they signed him, was a big boy.
Was a really big guy.
Real big boy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mason Paris is his rival. My apologies.
Mason Paris. Okay.
Yeah, Mason Paris. I mixed the lines on this. Paris, by the way, 6'2", 275, University of Michigan.
These people already have the cardio. They have the stamina. They probably have the wherewithal, the impact training if you're playing football.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think if you're coming...
It's 1987 again, boys.
If you're coming from football, do you think it's easier to transition into pro wrestling, like taking bumps?
So I spoke to someone that is very involved with mm-hmm. how recruitment works for them. And they said that here's how they look at it.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are very disciplined.
Right.
You know, if you are an athlete, a college athlete on this level, that means that from the time mm-hmm. of birth, pretty much,
yeah.
you have been training. Like, I know... Mike, you know, one of my good friends, his son
mm-hmm.
is a wrestler, like Greco-Roman, you know, Olympic style wrestler.
Yeah.
He's state level in New Jersey.
Wow.
The kid is six. Okay. Kid is six. He started when he was 4 years old
mm-hmm.
and he is a savant in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like you watch, I'll show you the videos. He sent me the videos last night.
It's too flexing, everybody.
It is. I'm telling you. And look, I got goosebumps, right? Mm-hmm. Like when I'm passionate, it is amazing to me to see a kid have this naturally.
Uh-huh.
And these guys, when you are at that level of athlete, that's when you start. This is how you start out. You're super young, and it's automatic, but the mm-hmm. discipline with training that comes along is exactly what WWE wants.
Yeah.
WWE doesn't want an indie guy with bad habits. And that's what we've heard for years. Remember, like even like 2005 when CM Punk was coming up. Right? When it was all about CM Punk and the indies were booming,
mm-hmm.
WWE's stance was, we really don't want these guys because of the bad habits. It takes us longer to break the bad habits than it is to train them.
Or Rollins. Rollins is a good example, too.
Rollins is another great guy, right?
You know.
And that was the same stigma that they talked about. And by the way, both are fantastic. They're unbelievable. Like, we don't see it, but they apparently have a vision.
I do find it fascinating. I think when you get people like this, they're very coachable. They're used to being coached. They're very... teachable.
Very teachable.
As opposed to like your indie vet who's like, I don't want to do it that way. This is how I take a bump, you know? And these guys are going to be running these drills like left and right, you know?
Yeah.
So who knows from this class is who's going to make it to the end, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows is who's going to find the passion for it and be signed or let go and picked up by somebody else.
So some more news on the Jeff Hardy situation. We moments ago, we mentioned that Jeff Hardy was released. Sean from Fightful, Sean Ross Sapp, friend of the show, friend of ours. He just released that information. And he also said that he heard that WWE offered Jeff help and rehab, and it was not accepted.
Ah, that's a shame.
So there's more to this story that will come.
But guess what?
Yeah.
When Jeff Hardy comes back in five more years, he's going to be as beloved and as over.
He's always beloved. The fans always love him.
They. This is like the third or fourth time, right?
That he was released.
Yeah.
Third?
Third?
Or four? You may be right. It could be four.
Jeff Hardy is the prodigal son of WWE. Like, no matter what he does, he will always come back with, like, oh, like, they'll welcome him back at some point.
Well, he's part, you know? He's the last of that era that exists. He's one of the few that still exists that's wrestling from that era, from that Attitude era. You know, him.
Ray.
He's wrestling more regularly, but Ray, him, I guess Jericho, Edge.
Yeah.
There's not too many of those guys that are actively still working like that.
Well, Edge took
Billy Gunn and his 8-foot tall body.
My God. Edge took a long break because of injury, but Hardy has been consistent, right?
Hardy's been, yeah.
Really nuts, dude.
Yeah, really. Really nuts. It kind of moved the show around because we weren't planning on discussing that. But the NIL program, listen, I'm very curious on how this is going to work out for them. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing the process they have in place here, this may be very successful for them.
I agree
with that. And I'll go into why, right?
Please.
And I said this on Observer Live on Sunday. By the way, every Sunday, Wrestling Observer Live, hosted by moi.
Look at that segue right
are
there.
Are you on next week with me this Sunday?
This coming Sunday?
Yeah.
I will. No.
Okay.
I'm going to be in the city all day. I apologize.
I believe I'm going to have Lance Storm
Very nice.
On this week.
With Very me. Nice.
Yes. I believe so. Let me just. I got to double check with Lance. By the way, my theme song to the Andrew Zarian show in 2009 was Lance's ECW theme.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you should tell him that.
I will. NIL program we discussed. You know, this is very interesting, but I was talking about this on Observer Live.
Okay.
And I got a lot of negative feedback over this, okay? But I want you guys to take any kind of bias or likability out of what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay? I was watching SmackDown.
Okay.
On Friday.
Shoot.
Regular SmackDown. Nothing special.
Yeah, yeah.
Roman comes out, and you stop and you watch, right? Like, he is somebody. He is somebody very important to what he is doing. The whole demeanor, the entrance, the whole show of Roman Reigns is exactly what WWE wants.
Yeah.
Does AEW have that? They don't have that guy. And my point was, is it important for AEW to eventually create that guy? And I'm not saying the look. I'm saying the presence of... Holy, if I'm channel surfing, right? I'm doing this and I'm flipping and I get on Fox and I see this dude walking down to the ramp with the whole entrance. I'm going to stop.
He looks like he's from another planet.
He looks like he's from another planet and he's a Greek god. I mean, that's the reality, right? He's a Greek god.
Or
and
Samoan.
That's exactly what Samoan guy. But that's what Vince wants, right? Titans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Colosseum, the Titans, you know?
Look at Brock.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing.
He does not look like a human being.
He doesn't. No, nobody looks like that. And you turn. And by the way, I enjoy AEW, watching AEW way more than WWE at this point, especially Raw. SmackDown, I enjoy on a very close level, but especially compared to Raw, I enjoy AEW way more because it's closer to the wrestling that I'm used to. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm not saying you're wrong for liking Raw. I'm just saying this is my personal preference.
Okay. Let's go into this a little bit.
Yeah, go into
now,
it.
Now, I have a question for
you. Yeah.
Okay, so we've established that you've got negative feedback by saying Roman...
God, I just freaked out, dude. Why? Thought I wasn't recording the show.
Roman is the total package when it comes to wrestling, right?
There's no denying it.
Okay.
This complete version is the final version of Roman. Most perfect version right now.
The most perfect version right now, right? Up until this point. Now, you can juxtapose that to so many different things in wrestling, and I kind of agree with you all what you're saying about AEW, right? The immediate thing that comes to my head is Austin's glass breaking and how wild that crowd would get every single time.
Perfect example.
Right? Now, Austin walking down to the ramp, if you really want to break it down, that is an extremely exaggerated presence for
intense.
A person.
Intense. You stop.
Another planet, right?
Yeah.
I do think AEW has those top guys that warrant that reaction, but what you're saying is the next level of that reaction.
The next level of that reaction, right? And yeah. Roman's the only thing right now. Roman, Edge, you know what? Brock and Roman. Edge also. I would put Edge there, for sure. You know who else? That's kind of there. Bobby Lashley is another guy. You look at this dude and you say, holy moly, who is this guy? He's from the planet of rocks.
Ugh.
But again, but it's a very different level. Like somebody over there explained to me, like, I was like, why do you think Roman works? This is recently. And I was like, why do you think Roman works and like some other guys didn't? He goes, it's a fraction of a point difference between becoming like a Roman Reigns level star, or like a Rock level star, Austin level star, and being a star in that company.
Yeah.
It's like this much. All it takes is this much. And that you cannot teach. That is what you have.
It's the borderline exaggeration of your character. It's borderline silly.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a cartoon.
Austin, as much as I love Austin, as badass as he was always borderline silly.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, this shit, you know.
The watch, you know,
whole thing. The Rock also, you know, borderline silly.
Yeah.
$500 shirts, the whole nine, you know.
But I said this, and this is a question that I'm presenting to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Does AEW have that guy? I don't think, listen, I love Kenny. I love Mox. They're fantastic.
Oh, they're amazing.
I'm not criticizing anybody. But when you turn on AEW, and some of this has to do with the production. Some of this has to do with the presentation of the guys. Do they have that guy?
They, you know what? It's not a knock on AEW at all. Like, we love that entire roster. It's amazing. Like, a lot of these guys do it for us, etc. But that next level thing is very, very interesting. But that also comes along very rarely. Now, Tony Khan...
Once every 20 years.
Right. But now Tony Khan, in an interview, I believe, yesterday, said Adam Cole could be the biggest star of all time in pro wrestling.
I'm going to say it's possible. Mm-hmm. It presented right. And some of this is aesthetic, right? Yeah. Like, I'm going based on Titan mentality, you know, WWE mentality. I don't think he would have ever been that guy in WWE because they have a look and a feel for their top guy. I think in AEW, it's a very different story. But I think, like, Jon Moxley, from Dean Ambrose to Jon Moxley, Jon Moxley's a way better character.
Oh, yeah.
Way bigger star.
Way more over.
And way more... Well, again, it's all perception. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, to me.
Absolutely.
To me
yeah.
personally.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega, I don't know. Like, Kenny is another one, but I think Kenny needs to be the cleaner again. You know, I don't think he's that guy.
Okay.
I know he was doing like a Nick Bockwinkel Flair thing, but when I turn it on, if I'm, and I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about channel surfing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want that next level of crowd, the P2s. Sorry, Rich. When you want that next level, who do they have that makes you stop? You know who does that for me? Malakai Black.
I
stop for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I stop every time. You know, even if I'm like, last night I got home.
Mm-hmm.
Late. I've had a hell of a week, guys. Like, I tweeted that I've been like very MIA.
Mm-hmm.
When you're channel surfing, like I was watching on Fast Forward yesterday, and I rewatched it this morning because I wanted to kind of have it fresh in my head. I saw Malakai Black come out. I stopped immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on? Oh, he spit in her face.
you know? Yeah, yeah.
All right. Cool.
He looks bananas. That's why
he looks. He looks bananas, and I'm not saying this again, and I'm very careful with this stuff because this is not a criticism of the talent.
No, not at all.
Or even AEW as a company. They're still young. They're still new. It's going to take them another, I want to say, 18 months to find that placement.
Look at it in terms of, like, let's use improv as an example, right? You workshop your characters big time until you nail it, right?
Yeah.
AEW is workshopping stuff in front of us every week, you know, especially with like Elevation and Dark and Rampage, not so much Rampage, but, you know, think about it that way. And I'm going to use Becky Lynch as an example. Remember Becky Lynch in NXT? She got saddled with all these wacky gimmicks.
It was terrible.
And they gave her the Riverdance character.
Terrible.
Because she was Irish.
Dude, do you remember how big Riverdance was in the 90s?
Yes.
My mother loved Riverdance, would watch it all the time. She ordered it on pay-per-view.
Did she take you?
No, she wanted me to do Riverdance.
I could see you do Riverdance.
I could see myself doing Riverdance
too. Yeah, yeah.
What was the guy's name?
Michael Flatley.
Look, Mike. Yeah,
Michael Flatley.
There you go. I'm Riverdancing.
It looks funny. From this perspective, it looks hysterical.
Am I good at it?
You're fantastic, man. You're the best chair river dancer I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. The skill's on you.
The skill's on me. So, again, like I know that we went off on a different, but I think this is an important conversation to have when
Absolutely.
You're being realistic about, you know, what you're watching. With that said, on Raw, the larger-than-life characters are all there.
Yes.
But it's so over the top that I can't connect with it anymore.
It's so over the top that it's bland.
And isn't that bizarre? Isn't that crazy? We got a 45-minute warning from MG Geek. Thank you. Our producers, MG Geek. You know,
I
fantastic.
I can see him in that little box over there. It's creeping me out.
Yeah. So let's look at it this way. Who, for WWE, they have determined their next 10-year plan.
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The days of the Daniel Bryans becoming, you know, world champion or the Adam Coles, they have, I mean, the writing is on the wall for those guys in WWE where, you know, obviously there will be the anomaly. There will be the breakout star always. That will be the fan favorite. You know, like.
The organic, you're saying the organic nature is gone because if that was the case, we would have had Cesaro as world champion.
Yes, something like, okay, Cesaro's a great example. If it was there, that would have happened because the audience is demanding it.
Exactly.
You know, but listen, the reality is, who are they appealing to? Look at their demo right now, right? They had, and we'll go into numbers now because this kind of makes sense. And I also have something very interesting. Brandon Thurston on Twitter sent me over, I think he posted it, but I didn't want to post what he sent me because it was before it was his Patreon stuff, but I think he posted it publicly. He sent me what the DVR numbers are for these shows.
Interesting.
Okay. I'm going to go into that. But Raw, their median age of viewership was 57 years old on Monday, meaning half the audience was younger than 57, half the audience was older than 57. Can you, who are the 60-year-olds that are tuning into Raw every week?
Well, the 60-year-olds tuning into Raw were the 47-year-olds tuning into the Attitude Era.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Like now, I mean, we were the key demo.
We were the key demo. We still are the key demo.
Are we?
Yeah, that's our tag team name.
Yeah, we are the key demo. Thank you. High five.
Key demo.
All right. Your hands are wet.
I know.
You have sweaty palms?
I'm so nervous.
Let me touch your... You are nervous. Is it me?
Yeah, it's you.
I knew it.
You make me very nervous.
I knew it. I you know, when you look at those numbers and their male audience fell off, the teenage audience is falling off, it means that they're not connecting. But on the SmackDown side, they're doing way better. Why is that?
2-hour show, Friday night.
Worst night.
In and out.
Friday night's a terrible night to be on TV.
I know that, but you know,
SmackDown's gonna move.
You think they're gonna go back to Thursdays?
Not that I know anything. Okay. I'm just telling you that their schedule is a logistical nightmare with the Friday schedule. And when they went to Fridays, it was not the first pick for them. They didn't want to be on Fridays.
Yeah.
And Fox had said, listen, if things go well, we can move the day again. We can move the show. It could, listen, SmackDown going on Thursdays again would be fantastic for them. One, much better. It's ruined a lot of their travel.
It's a lot of fun, too. I think, like, you know, Thursday night you have... I make it a point to watch AEW every Wednesday.
That would be the best thing on Friday for them.
I think it's a fun break during the week to watch 2 hours of wrestling on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
If SmackDown moved to Thursday, me personally, I'd be way, way excited for that.
On Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, me too. Because it would be live.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have to worry about Friday. I don't want to watch wrestling on Fridays, honestly.
Me neither.
I really, the last thing I want to do is watch wrestling on Fridays.
And
the reality is, you know, if SmackDown was on Thursdays, they would have but Thursday Night Football, they can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Tuesday. Maybe do it on a Tuesday.
You know, when... The last time I watched Rampage Live was
when
the day after Thanksgiving, because we were cleaning up the apartment. We were hanging out with family. Next thing I know, it's 5 to 10.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just going to watch Rampage right now. This is great.
So some AEW news here before I go into some other stuff. Holiday Bash theme for Wednesday, December 22nd. Saturday Night Rampage, December 25th, Christmas night. Do you know why they are moved?
Why?
It's a Christmas Story marathon on TNT.
Hell yeah.
Some other news, which I'm very excited for. I will not be at the show, but I think this is a very, very cool venue. AEW Dynamite is running in Atlantic City.
Yes.
At, I forgot the name, Boardwalk whatever.
Yeah.
Essentially, it was where WrestleMania 4 and 5 took place.
Yes.
What was it? Trump Towers?
Trump Plaza?
Trump Plaza, but it wasn't really Trump Plaza. Plaza is across the street, or was. They just renamed the building because Trump was involved in it.
It wasn't Caesars, right? It wasn't like the old Caesars?
No. Okay. It wasn't, like, I always thought it was, like, done in, like, at one of the casinos.
Right,
but
right.
It wasn't. It was done in this arena. Beautiful acoustic venue. Right.
Cool.
Very cool. I know people in Jersey are ecstatic about this.
Are they?
Very thrilled about this, yeah.
Are we going to go to AC for the weekend?
You know what? I was in Atlantic City. I was at the Jersey Shore that weekend last year.
Okay.
I went to Bar A. I did the whole, I have to tell you, middle of the pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember
it
this.
It was
yeah.
bonkers. It was like Florida.
Yeah, I know.
It was like I was in Florida.
Yeah.
And you know what? Nobody got sick.
Yeah.
Not one person. It was like 30 of us. Nobody got sick. Very happy about that.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Revolution Weekend taking place on March 4th to March 6th in Orlando, UCF campus. Small building, by the way.
Okay.
I believe it's like 6,500. Somebody could get me that number. 3-4, you got Rampage. You got 3-5, Fan Fest, which I do like that they're doing these Fan Fests. I think that's a positive for
yes.
them. And 3-6, you got Revolution. Where do you want to go now, Rich? We got all the news, all that stuff out of the way, and then we're going to do our Q&As at the end. So you want to lead us through War Games Fallout and everything?
Sure. Seeing as how we are on a limited schedule today, we're leaving at 11:45. Let's talk about War Games here.
Yeah.
NXT War Games happened this past weekend. You have your opening match, Kaylee Ray, Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, and Cora Jade beating Dakota Kai and Toxic Attraction. 31 minutes. Honestly, I really dug this match.
Yeah, me too.
That was a fun match. The ladies laid it all on the line.
It was fun, but you know what? It was their worst War Games that they've done.
You know, I'll agree with that, but they really, really, like, I think they really went for it. There were a couple of botches, but who cares?
Yeah.
You know? NXT Tag Team Championships, the Imperium beating Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner. This was the turn, which led up to this Wednesday of Kyle O'Reilly versus Von Wagner. Von Wagner looks like an 80s villain.
Von Wagner does look like an 80s villain, yeah.
Next, you had the hair versus hair match. Cameron Grimes beating Duke Hudson, 10:35. That was a fun match. Like I said yesterday, 2 days ago on Twitter, Cameron Grimes has really fell into this character, like, perfectly at this point.
He's really good.
Yeah.
By the way, it's 9,400 is the capacity for Edition Arena.
Cool. You also had the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, Roddy beating Joe Gacy in 8 minutes.
Okay, I was surprised by that.
How do you feel about the Joe Gacy character?
I don't know how I feel about
it. Is he too on the nose with Joel Pearl?
He's very on the nose with Joel Pearl.
And you had War Games main event, Team 2.0, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Grayson Waller, and Tony D'Angelo with his Italian flag face paint.
I love that.
Beating Team Black and Gold, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight. 38-minute match. This was fun. Braun took the pin. Braun pinned Ciampa.
Yeah.
We got some cool DIY stuff.
So
that was a fun match. Listen.
Fun match.
I'm a big fan of Bron Breakker.
Same with me, man. They have, I'm telling you, you're talking about the It.
Yeah.
I am hoping. And I know there are a lot of people that don't like him for whatever reason, because I feel like they don't like him because he represents this new NXT.
Yes.
I got to tell you, man, they are doing it right with him.
Absolutely.
And it's still early, but he's extremely charismatic. He's for the experience that he has in the ring. He's real. I mean, listen, he's a Steiner at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like he has it in his blood to be. I hope that he drops the Breakker name. I know that they're saying that it was his suggestion. Yeah. You know how it's his suggestion? Let me tell you how. They send you home. They say, come up with names. And God, you hope that they pick one of your names.
Yeah.
Because what they're going to give you is going to be terrible. So when they're saying, like, well, Bron Breakker picked his name or this one picked that gimmick. And they give you options. Uh-huh. They kind of, like, lead you down a path. Do I hate the name Bron Breakker? No.
That just grew on me.
But I would love him to be Rex Steiner.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, isn't his real name Bronson?
Yes.
So yeah,
Bron Breakker. Oh, call him Bron Steiner.
Yeah.
Why not?
It really grew on me because, you know, it's a chantable name.
Breakker.
Right.
Steiner also.
Steiner, yeah. He has believable intensity, and also he has that asshole voice, that asshole cadence that his that his uncle has, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you, come here.
Yeah, that voice.
Yeah, Ciampa, I'm taking that title from you.
You know?
Fantastic. I like the dude. I think, and he's only 24, which is nuts.
Very young, very, very good. And obviously they're leading up to that match, you know, that rematch, yeah. And it looks like he's going to beat him. So there were a couple elements here, right?
Yes.
Kyle O'Reilly did the Undisputed Era hand signal.
Right.
And said, this is a brotherhood.
Yeah.
He lost to Von Wagner on in the steel cage match on NXT TV on Tuesday.
I think this is it for Kyle.
If I were to be a betting man, I would say that he's more likely to be leaving than Gargano. But
I agree with that.
They did a very good job with Gargano. We don't have a lot of time today, so I don't want to go through this whole card with the results. But Johnny Gargano came out at the end. He addressed his future. It was a very heartfelt promo. He said he has the most important job coming up in February for him and as being a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would see him taking some time off, obviously.
Yeah.
To be with his wife, be with his child. And then maybe sometime in March or April, you see him coming up.
Yeah. You know, I think it's always fun to play guess what happens with these guys.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly, I definitely think done.
Josh Coleman in the chat. Love you guys.
Sweet $5 from Josh.
One of my best friends. Love you guys. Everyone smash that like button.
We also have Steven Prasad, 279 from California. That's a CA 279.
That's a CA from California. California currency.
California
currency. When the union dismantles and we all become countries, that'll be the currency, CA.
So Gargano, I feel like he's going to stick around a little bit because, one, he's going to be a dad.
Yeah.
Two, his wife is still under contract.
They're in Florida. He could be a great trainer there.
Exactly.
Sean loves him. Everybody loves him. He's beloved.
Right.
Listen.
And he does have the option to go anywhere he wants after that, right? Sign a 1-year extension.
Is he going
to
be AEW World Heavyweight Champion? All right, like let's look at it this way.
You want to be realistic?
Let's be realistic.
TNT.
Okay,
champ.
So he leaves. He leaves WWE. Mm-hmm. He leaves NXT. He goes to AEW.
Mm-hmm.
He has these phenomenal matches. Mm-hmm. And then what? Is he going to be the top guy in the company? I'm not saying no. I'm just saying realistically, you know, he has to weigh the pros and cons. Does he want to travel? Does he want to be part of another company, you know, with a wife at home, with a baby, with possibly a cushy position in NXT? What does he want to do? I think these are all questions. Listen, if I was him, I know the difficulty of taking on a full-time job that's very demanding with two children.
Right.
It is very difficult to manage your life. I don't travel like he does.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to travel, it would not be, I would most, like if I got a job, WWE offered me a job today and they said, listen, Andrew, we're going to give you this great gig. You're going to be a producer, whatever, but you have to travel. And it's, let's say they're paying me $250,000, $300,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, throwing out good money, right? I would probably have to really deeply think about it and I would probably pass on the offer.
Interesting.
Because it doesn't fit my lifestyle. I want to be with my family. I am a family guy. I mean, listen, we talk about, you know, we talk a lot of crap on the air, but for me, that's my priority in life.
Yeah.
And I think that's a priority for a lot of people. Kyle O'Reilly, on the other hand, you know, I think he would benefit way more by going to AEW because his other option is going to the main roster.
Right.
And what do you do with Kyle O'Reilly? Because he doesn't have face paint. He doesn't have a mask. He doesn't have a flashy outfit. He's not a flashy promo. So what does he do there?
Right. You end up with...
He has a couple good matches.
Yeah. That's a very interesting speculative argument. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing... As long as these guys have work, I don't mind seeing them wherever they go. But, you know, I feel like Gargano's probably going to stick around WWE. O'Reilly, I could definitely see making an impact in AEW.
I see all these guys making an impact wherever they go, but it depends on what kind of impact they're going to make. And I find that the most interesting part. Now, like Tommaso Ciampa is another great example.
Oh, yeah.
When Ciampa's contract is over, where does he go? What does he do? I think Ciampa would be a fantastic main roster heel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in every possible way, but it all depends if it fits what they are thinking about doing that year.
The narrative.
Month. Yeah, listen, it's a very different WWE. I don't think people realize this. There's a lot of criticism about them, and people are acting like it's, you know, WWE of the past. This is a very different company. This is a mainstream media conglomerate now.
Constantly evolving.
They have... I don't think people realize how smart Nick Khan is.
Yeah.
I don't think people know his actual background. If you do your homework on this guy, you're going to... Him and Vince McMahon have totally different philosophies.
Right.
And this is the guy running the company now. So...
Yeah.
Listen, not criticizing them. There's plenty to criticize here.
For sure.
You know, I don't necessarily think they're going in the wrong direction as a whole, as a company, because look at their financials. Look at what they're selling. Look how much media coverage they're getting.
There's also
I'm not saying the wrestling's great.
Right. There's also a lot to be said about the talent playing ball with what they want to mold people into.
Yeah.
Look at the guys who have been tried and true forever. I'm going to say The Miz again, right?
Yeah.
Edge, Orton. I think Riddle is going to be one of those guys. Corbin, Bobby Lashley, right? Like, these guys play ball and they're constantly on TV, you know? Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre, another good example. I would love to see, fantasy booking wise, I'd love to see a main roster feud between Ciampa and Edge.
Oh, man, me too.
Right?
Who wouldn't?
But that stuff, I feel like, gets put on the back burner because that's not typically what a WWE executive would want.
Yeah.
Right? That's cool shit for the wrestling fans. But guess what, guys? We don't do wrestling. We do entertainment.
We do sports entertainment.
We do sports entertainment, yeah. Like, on a bigger level now. Like, it's interesting, too, because that narrative has been shoved down our throats for many years. We do sports entertainment, right?
Yeah.
And I think now, with the current WWE product, this is the most sports entertainment it has been.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree?
I agree with you.
Right?
Yeah, it's a whole different company. Since the pandemic ended, since the Thunderdome era ended, this is a very different company. I have these really interesting DVR +7 numbers. This is courtesy of WrestleNomics and Brandon Thurston. Fantastic job at compiling this.
You should get him on.
I am going to have him on. I'm just trying to schedule it. I think once the holidays are over, when I have an easier schedule, we could do it. So a lot of people have asked me, what does AEW do with DVR numbers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have their monthly average here. I think this is interesting to a lot of people, and this says a lot. AEW in January was averaging 997,000 average viewers. Their live plus same-day viewership in January was 757,000. They had about 240,000 that watched next day plus seven, 7-day delay. So it was about almost a million. They have been at a million. Let's say that's a million. Mm-hmm. They have been over a million the entire year. Their peak was September for Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
1.4 million was the average viewership for Dynamite in September. Right now, I think November was about a million, 1.06 million, right? Rampage. Rampage's average with DVR is 732,000 in November. Very different story being told here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Impact. I mean, by the way, everybody's down here because from September on, everybody dropped in their numbers,
sure,
including WWE. Impact, 122,000 with DVR delay. NXT, 682 is their average. Their peak was September. It's gone down steadily, but their peak right now was in April, where they averaged almost a million per million for the average in April.
Wow.
Which was interesting. Raw, Rich, you want to guess these Raw numbers? What do you think they're doing on average right now?
I'm going to say 1.3 million.
1.87.
Wow.
Yeah, with the DVR delays. Their peak for the year was January with 2.3 million, and then again in August, where everybody got that bump in August and September, 2.22 million. And SmackDown, this is the interesting thing. SmackDown's doing 2.3 million. At their peak right
now.
In November, 2.3 million and 2.5 million in January was their peak. But very interesting, right? I mean, these are the numbers that really matter for viewership.
Interesting.
That's the interesting thing here, right? I think those are the numbers that you should be looking at. Forget about those numbers that everybody puts out. I put out, everybody puts out. These are the actual viewership numbers that matter. I want to get that out there because a lot of people have asked me for these, and Brandon was fantastic at compiling this and sending it my way to talk about. Very interesting stuff. Where do you want to go, Rich? We got about 20 minutes.
Well, when you talk numbers, I just want to go away.
I know. I'm sorry.
Forever.
I'm sorry.
No. It's fine. So we have about 20 minutes left.
Yeah. We'll do 10 and 10. 10 minutes of questions, 10 minutes of more headlines.
Let's do 10 and 10. So do you want to move into AEW from last night?
Yes. Let's go with that very quickly.
So let me find it here in the notes, Mr. Gonzo. Dynamite last night. Show started with CM Punk getting booed out of the building, huh?
Booed out of the building. He came out to MJF's music.
Yeah.
Which, I got to tell you, it was a little bit of a detriment to that MJF pop because you already heard the music and he came out. He comes out to MJF's music. The crowd goes nuts. And then here comes CM Punk and the boos start rolling in. He had a ball playing a heel.
Oh, yeah.
He loved it.
For sure. That's kind of like, I hate Long Island, but it's also fun doing the city versus city thing.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I've always gotten a kick. It was such a classic heel. Like, I was explaining to Jess, because that's like the only thing that I really watched, like, at home. And she was like, why is he like, I'm like, oh, it's like an old school, like, wrestling thing. Like, you get heat by talking about the local town and the local sports and the local hero, and you just make fun of them.
Yeah, and then tell them how great your city is compared to
them. Yeah, exactly.
Chicago is better than Long Island, though. I will agree with that. There are certain parts of Long Island that I really enjoy, but as a whole,
you know what? I love Long Island.
I know, because you're an island boy.
I am an island boy.
Let's see what we got here. So, you know, CM Punk comes out, gets booed out of the building. You have MJF coming out. MJF with a stellar video package.
Do you see my jacket? I have my my version of the MJF.
I know. Can you put it on?
Yeah. Let's,
can you put it on right now? Don't trip. Oh, yeah. Look at this, guys.
There we go. Hold on. There we go. Look at this jacket.
Yeah. This guy was all state for Sapphire.
Yeah, I was all state for a strip club. There we go.
What sport did you play to get that jacket for the strip club?
Pole dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got you working it, huh?
They got me working it.
I thought there it was hacky sack.
Hacky sack. I'll figure this out. It's too hot in here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
So you have the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal, which is a lot of fun. MJF and Dante Martin were the last two participants. Dante Martin turned on Team Taz.
Yeah, so everybody saw it coming. I thought it was cool that they did a work on this.
Yeah.
He didn't join them, and he kind of he turned on them. So it builds a program right there.
Yes, Jeff Hardy did get released chat room. We talked about that at the top of the show. Jurassic Express and the Varsity Blondes beat the Acclaimed and 2.0.
Yep.
The Bucks with Adam Cole and Brandon Cutler beat Chaos. Like, this version of Chaos.
This version of Chaos.
Chuck Taylor, Rocky Romero with Orange Cassidy. Superclick beat up the Babyfaces. Trent made his return in his mom's car,
which
is great. Trent looks amazing. Cut his hair. Got real jacked. He looks like the love child of Jon Moxley and The Blade.
Yeah, he does. I thought it was The Blade, actually, when he came out. I had to, like, stare at him for, like, 5 minutes to figure out who the hell that was.
Good for Trent. Making his Long Island return, because he's an island boy as well. Rio defeating Jamie Hayter with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Rebel. Varsity Blondes and Julia Hart were backstage. Malakai Black shows up and destroys everything.
Yeah.
She sounds like he was dying. And Bryan Danielson beat John Silver. Adam Page makes a save. Listen, yeah. I'm like the Daniel Bryan, whatever
it's
the hell his name.
Bigger and bigger every week.
Wide.
Yeah, man.
He's getting
looks great.
When he beat Evolution, I think that was the widest he was ever at as a wrestler.
Yeah. Well, look at those traps on him.
Getting there.
Fantastic traps. Ugh.
I don't know, man. The Bryan Danielson arc may be my favorite thing on AEW right now.
They've done a very good job at turning him prematurely.
Yes.
But it's worked for him. I think the whole dynamic has shifted with Mox being gone. I mean, you know, he's in that Mox spot right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, for sure.
You know, everything is kind of all over the place. They had to rebook their plans. But it's kind of falling into place here.
So they, so you're saying they would have booked Mox as a heel.
Mox was going to be the heel going up against Hangman.
I do like this,
which that makes a lot more sense on paper. Though,
right, right. You know? This is pretty fantastic, though.
Yeah, I just, you know, I would have liked to see him and Punk continue with their undefeated streak.
Yeah.
I'm choking here. Hold on. undefeated streak.
Yes.
But they're going to have to lose eventually.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the reality is you don't want another draw unless that's what you do. And he goes to a draw with Hangman. And the story is that he just can't finish it. At
can't
the
get
end.
It done.
He can't get it done.
So
at
you're
the end.
So you're taking the Kenny story from Japan, putting it on.
Well, that's what they did with him, right? There was a tie that first match, which was the best thing that they did, was a draw, time limit draw. I don't think that that people would be happy with it, but I think it would be an interesting element to this. So they've put together some interesting thing. The other thing from the show that I picked up on, you know, CM Punk's promo was that he wants the title shot. He says that he's next in line.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the top of the show, we were talking about presence in pro wrestling, not necessarily like who's over, right? We just mentioned the like American wrestling. Do you consider Okada and Tanahashi on like what level are they comparative with Roman?
I don't think they're there.
Really?
You think so? What do you think?
I think Okada for sure.
Yeah, but I'm saying like to a U.S. audience. I mean, athletic wise, I think Okada's a better worker. But
well, yes, I'm not. We're taking wrestling out of the equation, but the factor that makes you stop the television. Like, if you saw Okada come out on TV right now, would you stop what you're doing and see what this guy's all about?
I don't think most people would.
Interesting.
I don't think most people would do it.
Okay. So many levels of this conversation with that star power kind of
again,
thing,
yeah. But it also comes down to like, what are you into? Who are you into?
Yeah, what are you into?
What am I into? I'm into some weird shit. I got to tell you.
I know. I've seen the screencast.
You've seen the screencast.
go ahead.
Yeah, I you know, there's so many moving elements here, and I think 2022 is going to be a very big year for both companies.
Wrestling has been on the up for the last couple of years, which is pretty awesome. Yeah. And, you know, like it's been consistent, which is great. Tomorrow night, you're getting Rampage, AEW World Tag Team Championships, Lucha Brothers versus FTR. Very much looking forward to that.
Okay.
Ruby Soho, Tay Conti, and Anna Jay versus Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, and Bunny. That's going to be fun. Adam Cole versus Wheeler Yuta.
Yoda.
Wheeler Yoda. Hook versus Fuego del Sol. People are going bananas for the Hook stuff, by the way.
Okay, Hook. People are very excited about Hook.
Is Hook going to be the guy?
Imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine. By the way, Wheeler Yuta, myself, Andrade, Drew McIntyre, we're all from the same factory.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just different clone versions to fit the market.
Are you the Danny DeVito in this situation?
I am the Danny DeVito of this situation.
I'd like to see a Twins movie with you and Drew McIntyre.
You know what?
You're the Danny DeVito.
Can you
DeVito.
Imagine? Oh, dude. Amazing. Okay, somebody needs to Photoshop that, right? It's Drew McIntyre.
The white suit.
Okay? And it's me in Twins, but I'm the Danny DeVito, and he's the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
If somebody could do the head swap on that iconic Twins poster where DeVito is leaning against Schwarzenegger, except you're the DeVito.
Yeah.
Oh, reverse it, too. Make Andrew the Schwarzenegger.
I don't want to be Schwarzenegger. I want to be DeVito.
Hook versus Fuego del Sol. Is Hook going to be the guy when the glass breaks, people go absolutely apeshit?
I hope so. I hope. Hysterical. I hope, like, you know, it'd be great if he just does his father's gimmick, but he's like tiny, you know? I can't believe that's his son.
Like, I know.
That is the most daunting thing. And I'm not saying it in a negative way. I think it's so shocking that that's like his kid. He's such a clean cut kid.
Good genetics.
Like, good looking kid. Like, he's clean cut. You know what? Good genetics.
Good genetics on that Taz.
He just needs the Taz level tan now. That's what he needs.
Oh, yeah. That winter, give him another 10 years and then it'll just happen. AEW Dynamite Winter is coming. The 12-15 lineup so far is MJF versus Dante Martin for the Dynamite Diamond Ring.
Yeah.
I do think Wardlow's going to cost. I think this is what happened. This is the Wardlow turn.
I think it's time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's time. And you know what? That may be the way that CM Punk beats him.
Ooh. Interesting. Serena Deeb versus Hikaru Shida. It's going to be great. And you have the AEW World Championship Hangman versus Bryan Danielson. I want that match to be an hour long.
Is it going to be a barn burner?
A barn burner.
It is going to be a barn burner.
I want that match to be a huge hour long.
30-minute TV time, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Let's see. Where do you want to go from here? Do you want to do questions? We have 10 minutes.
Yeah, let's do questions. By the way, there's a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, final show. It's called Final Battle, 7 p.m. It's the first hour's free on YouTube. I do want to run down this because this is literally their final show with people that are contracted. They essentially go down to becoming a glorified independent promotion after this because they won't have, you know, contracted stars. The big story here is Ring of Honor World Champion Bandido is defending against Jonathan Grisham. I would say I would expect Jonathan Grisham to win the title and be, I guess, the final Ring of Honor champion until they go into their next step, if they do.
Right.
You also have Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship, OGK, which is Matt Taven and Matt Bennett. Defend against the Briscoes, which I think the Briscoes should win to finish off that whole story. There's a lot of great matches here, and I'm definitely going to check it out on this weekend.
That's going to be fun. Before we get to questions, Taylor Jones, our friend Tay, $10. Hey. Happy Thursday, guys.
Thanks, Tay.
She worked the tapings at TakeOver.
Did she?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Very cool. Let's see what we have here. I'm going to do two Instagram questions.
What TakeOver? Which TakeOver? War Games?
Yeah, War Games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. This past Sunday.
I got confused.
This is from Rylan on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Who is on your guys' women's Mount Rushmore?
In where? WWE?
Wrestling. Just, I guess.
Wrestling?
It just says, who is on your guys' women's Mount Rushmore?
Okay. Medusa?
Boom.
Trish Stratus?
Kaboom.
Lita?
Sure.
Charlotte?
That's four.
And I get, how many do I get? Four? I get four.
You get four.
Okay. That's my Mount
Do you
Rushmore.
Know how many people are on Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, four.
Yeah.
I thought I could go more. I don't know. It's like literal.
I'll go Trish. Lita for sure. Ah, man.
I'm only doing American talent here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it. Because like, as much as I want to say like a Bull Nakano or like an Alundra Blaze.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, let's. I'll agree with you. Agree with you.
Okay.
I do.
There's so many people you can move out, but I think Medusa played a huge part in this. Mm-hmm. Actually, she is Charlotte Flair before Charlotte.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that fascinating?
Absolutely. I do think you're going to get, like, I think this generation is pretty insane.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have your Asukas, your Io Shirais, your Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, right? Like Serena Deeb. Like this generation of talent is completely ridiculous. This is from Jake Jones on Instagram. Does Cody beat Sammy and then turn heel? Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Did you see Cody showing off his...
that was bad. That was rough.
His gnarly arm yesterday.
You think I can make the 1157?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. Let's go a couple more questions.
Okay. Let's throw it up on the screen here.
Oh, there we go.
Let's see. Boom. This is from OK Johnny. Should MJF or anyone else take the AEW World Championship from Hangman at Revolution, or would it be too soon? How do you feel about world titles changing hands quicker than expected?
I think when it's done right, it works, but it's rare for that it's done right.
Mm.
There's a couple occasions you could say, okay, this made a lot of sense and it actually helped. I don't personally think Hangman should drop the title, but when does he drop the title and to who?
They've done a good job of keeping those titles on guys for a very long time.
Yeah.
I personally don't think it's going to be Daniel Bryan.
I don't either.
All right. Do we think rapid title changes? Let's see. I lost it. How do you feel about world titles changing hands quicker than expected? It's a prop, but sometimes I like tenure on a title.
You know,
AEW has done a very good job with that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. This is from Rated C. Since WWE is doing the NIL program, are they still going to sign indie wrestlers?
Yes, they are, but they're not exclusively scouting the indies. You know, if there's a breakout star, obviously they're going to grab them. Those guys are always going to be taken. I don't ever expect those guys to disappear from WWE, but I don't think that's their priority for scouting talent and developing talent.
Yeah.
You know, but let's say, you know, like a guy like Wardlow, a guy like MJF, guy like Brian Cage. These are guys that they definitely have their eyes on, and they would definitely sign if they can, if it works for them at the moment. But the guy, you know, seeing guys like, you know, those old, like the Ricochets.
Yeah.
you know, to get him from the indies and then bring him up to the main roster, I think you're going to see less of those. I think you're going to see more ingrown, you know, homegrown talent.
Ingrown talent. Let's see. This is from Balor Club Guy. What's up, boys? You're booking night one and night two of WrestleMania 38. What matches are you booking?
Both main events?
Yeah.
I'll give you both main events if I was booking it. Night one, Ronda versus Becky.
Mm-hmm.
Night two, Roman versus Rock.
Same here. I agree with that. We talk about this every week.
Simple. It's so simple to book, and you would pack those stadiums out immediately.
Okay. This is from Carissa, your arch nemesis.
Carissa Lopez.
So is the Cruiserweight title now the Openweight title?
I guess so.
Or a Openweight title.
I guess it is. I don't know.
An all-inclusive title?
It's an all-inclusive title. Anybody could fight for it.
Yeah.
The 24/7 title. They never know how to run that Cruiserweight title.
No.
They have like moments where they figure it out, and then it just goes...
It's so weird. This is from Gary Lyles. AEW books hometown talent so well, even MJF was over. Will Vince take a hint?
No, because it's all about heat over there. Everything is about getting heat.
Yeah.
It's not about positive heat. It's about negative heat.
Mm.
That's why they cultivate heels so much better than babyfaces.
Yes.
Look at it like this. Bayley in San Jose. At the time, she was huge, and she loses.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, great example of
it. So weird. Let's see. We got a question on Twitter from All Elite Cowboy. Hashtag ass Mattman. Is there a realistic chance we could see an AEW NJPW super show next year?
It depends on the pandemic. That's really what it comes down to.
Oh, this is a good question. This is from Mike Roth on Twitter. Do you guys know where Timothy Thatcher is?
That is a fantastic question. They took him off TV with an injury angle, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just beat the crap out of him. I don't know if he was hurt or not. I can't remember, but I haven't heard anything, which is fascinating because he was really getting pushed. You know, he was going to be that next, you know, grappler in that company with the feud with Matt Riddle and the feud with Tommaso Ciampa. I think they did a great job at building him. I don't know. That's a great question.
You think he just got in his car and left one day and nobody knows where he is? Let's see what we got here. This is from Joe on YouTube. Do you agree with Meltzer's opinion that Nick Khan is the most likely guy to take over from Vince eventually?
Yeah. I mean, if all goes well with Nick and because he's, look at the money he's generating for that company. Look at all the deals he's putting together.
In such a short time.
Yeah. He's really become a key player in that company in a very quick period, but he's been associated. He's done a lot of stuff with them. You know, he's been around. Listen, those guys, I deal with a lot of these corporate, you know, big time guys.
Yeah.
They are cut from a different piece of cloth. It is not, they don't think like normal people. They have a very different way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think that this goes in line with WWE's philosophy. I think Nick Khan really perfectly fits in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a Bruce Pritchard will never run that company, nor would he want to, but he would never be that guy, even though he's an executive in the company for a very long period of time on and off. Same thing with Hunter. I don't think Hunter is the business guy there. He's not the money guy. He could cultivate talent. He could figure out the TV, production, but really, and Steph, I don't know. I don't know what Steph, you know, does she even want that? Very demanding job.
Yeah. Doesn't Steph handle mostly like the community outreach stuff?
Yeah. Branding and stuff like that. Marketing.
All right. We got one from the Kingsman here. Who are the early favorites to win the Royal Rumble matches in 2022? Will there be any first-time winners in it?
I don't know.
I'm going to say yes for a first-time winner in 2022. I think they have to go a little big. My money's on Balor.
I don't want it to be like Randy Orton or... Yeah, no. Balor would be a great pick. Yeah.
I think Balor takes it.
I don't want it to be Brock.
What if it's The Rock?
I would love that.
Rock comes back.
Just throws over everybody.
Does like the most minimal amount of work. Yeah, it's the biggest pop of the night.
I'm okay with that.
Wrestles Roman at WrestleMania. Yeah. Let's see. So what we got? What else do we got here?
Let's do two more.
Two more, and then we're gonna biz take ounce. Off. We're gonna biz ounce. All right. Let's see here. It looks like this is not populating. Let's do some more in the queue. We're trying this screen queue thing. Let's see. Gary the new man. What did everyone think the flickering lights were all about?
Where?
I think on Dynamite.
I missed it.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda?
Is that what happened? I don't. I thought the lights went off and it was
Malachi.
Malachi.
What? Well, my question is, where is this guy? Is he hanging out with Timothy Thatcher?
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. Is he inside?
He's inside.
Is he inside the house?
He's
right
here.
Now.
He's here. He's here. Yeah.
All right, guys. We're gonna take one more question right now. Make it a good one. We'll do the last question from YouTube.
All right.
So whoever's listening, like I said, it's gonna be the first one. Make it funny or make it smart.
Make
whatever.
It good. Make us it good. Good question.
Give us one good question before we get out of here. We got 3 minutes to answer this question. Yeah. Hit it up, YouTube.
Yeah. By the way, let's do it. I want to remind everybody: subscribe to us where everywhere podcasts are available. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a huge help, and of course, subscribe to us here on YouTube. We're also on Wrestling Observer. All right. What do we have?
Oh, we never picked a Women's Rumble winner. Bailey. Returning Bailey.
Returning Bailey?
Yeah.
Okay. Liv.
Liv? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here. Okay, Johnny. Great question. Who wins the TBS title?
Who's in the bracket?
I'm going Thunder Rosa.
You know what? I'll go with the same.
Yeah.
I'll go with Thunder Rosa also.
This is a good one. We can end it on this. Audio Revolver. What will it take for you to jump in the ring and wrestle?
Not much.
Yeah.
I just got to get in shape.
We should do it in
6 weeks to get in shape.
I think we should go to
Catalyst
a wrestling school.
No, we can do it with Catalyst Wrestling. They're running Brooklyn in January.
Let's go to a wrestling school and do some drills and record it.
All right. I think that's a great idea.
That would be hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in.
This is from Carissa. We're going to do one more.
Okay.
Will AEW grab a few ROH talent for the Owen tournament?
That's a great, I think their idea is that if anybody's available and that would fit the company, they would grab them. But their roster's really big right now.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think, Andrew?
With what?
Are we done?
I think we're done. Yeah, there you go.
I think you're done.
I think I'm done.
All right,
I gotta go.
Right
I gotta go. I'm getting, it's noon. Everybody's messaging me. I gotta go. Guys, that's it for this week. Love each and every one of you. I'll see you on Sunday for Wrestling Observer Live. Rich, where can people find you?
BTC Rich on Twitter, baby. Let's do it.
All right, guys. See you next time.
Later.
Take